Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll hear from former Fin Harps captain Keith Cowan as we talk League of Ireland soccer. Harps, of course, host the defending champion Shamrock Rovers on Friday night. The new Premier Division season in Inishowen starts this weekend. We'll hear all about it with PRO in Inishowen, Terence Higgerty. Letterkenny Rugby Club have hopes of promotion this season. New head coach Paul O'Kane is on the programme ahead of the Ulster Championship 3 start in Newry on Saturday. And in the first of our All-Ireland preview pieces over the next week, we'll be hearing from Tyrone's Niall Sludden as they prepare to take on Mayo on Saturday week in the Big Decider. But we're going to start with soccer, and Fin Harps will look to continue their fantastic recent form tomorrow night, Friday, in the Premier Division at Finn Park. The next task for Ollie Horrigan's side is the defending champions Shamrock Rovers. But Harps, of course, will go into the game with loads of confidence after coming out of the cup tie against Derry City last week with a victory and progressing in the competition. Speaking of the cup, Harps, of course, have been drawn against Dundalk, and this week's conversation about League of Ireland football and the cup. I've been talking to former Fin Harps captain Keith Cowan. And first of all, we discussed that cup draw with Harps hosting Dundalk in a couple of weeks' time in the last eight stages. And I first of all started by asking Keith, is that a draw that the Fin Harps faithful would be happy with?
I think they will be. You know, I think the way the Harps have been going over the last few weeks, I think there is a real renewed confidence there. I suppose that was at the start of the year when, you know, we've got a couple of big results going to Dundalk and winning, and then the home game against Bowes, you know, 3 points there as well. So obviously this is a cup tie. I think Harps being at home will be delighted with it. We know that there's more fans coming in now. Dundalk, on the other hand, the way they've been going, they're not fancy coming to Balfour the way Harps have been playing in the last few weeks. So I think, yeah, it's definitely an interesting encounter because we do know the quality that Dundalk possesses. But I think looking at some of the other teams, obviously you have a couple of first division sides in there, and the junior side in Maynooth University. So, you know, I think Harps fans and Harps players will be happy with the draw.
Yeah, would you welcome a run in the cup? Would you? Yes, it is a nice distraction, but given that Harps want to stay in the top flight as a player, then I'll go to when you were a player, Keith. Did you always welcome a cup run?
Yeah, I suppose over the years it's been and different type of seasons that we would have played in. You know, had you been, if it was league survival in the Premier League or trying to get promoted, it is a nice distraction. It's a chance maybe when you were lower down to get a crack at the big boys and see where you were. If things hadn't been going well in the week, it was a welcome distraction. It is nice for the fans, you know, in a one-off game, you know, you put yourself against the best teams there. So I think, you know, there's no reason why Harps this year maybe couldn't be looking to make a final spot or maybe even win that cup. You look at the teams that are left. We look at, you know, Pats, yes, you know, Bows are still in there. But other than that, obviously Harps beat Pats last, you know, 2 weeks ago very comfortably. You know, we've beaten Bows this year already. So there's no one in there that's gonna, you know, worry Harps as such that they think, you know, this is an unbeatable game. So, yeah.
Do you genuinely believe Harps can win the cup this year?
I think so. You look at the teams that are left. Have they played them and beat them this year? Yes, they have. So why is it unrealistic to think that you couldn't go and win the cup?
Yeah. Oh, well, hopefully you're right, Keith. We'll see as the season goes on. You talked about having a crack at the big boys. Harps are going to have a crack at the defending champions and the big boys from Tallaght at Finn Park on Friday night. Going under it, obviously, in good form, Keith.
Yeah, you know, both sides in great form. You know, Harps inside the, I think, with themselves and Derry and Rovers, the top three sides in the league at the moment. You know, they'll take massive confidence from their wins over the last few weeks. Everything just seems to be coming back together now again in terms of, you know, well, it had been maybe until this week with injuries and stuff like that. I know we're missing a few this week, but, you know, everyone had been back fit. Lads have been, you know, the lads that had come in had settled really well. You know, he's been able to, you know, use a lot of the squad, which is great. And he seems to really maybe trust the squad now as well. You know, he's given those lads game time and they've done really well. Like some Ryan Rennie's come in and done really well. And as I mentioned, the new lads. So I think it is going to be a difficult game this week, obviously. You know, Rovers have great quality in the ranks, although they're missing a few as well. We'll talk about those in a minute. But yeah, I think definitely with the way results have been going, confidence will be high and they'll believe that they can beat Rovers as well.
Yeah. How do you go about beating Rovers then in your mind, Keith? What do you have to do to beat them?
Well, obviously everybody has to play well, you know, and that's been the way that it's been going the last couple of weeks. Everyone's been performing. We looked at the Derry game last week. You look along the back four, excellent. We looked at the middle of the field. You know, we had to make a few changes. Will Seymour was out suspended. Joyden Levy stepped into the middle of the park and was excellent. Probably one of his best games in a Harps jersey so far. Everybody has to be, as we say, at the top level. We have goals now. Olavi, you know, again, he's got one from the penalty spot last week. As long as your striker's scoring goals, there's going to be confidence there. You know, Siddiqui was out last week, came back in when I think it was one boy got injured, or maybe Musto, I'm not sure. But he was out of the team, you know, so one of your best defenders had to step out to make, you know, because the lads have been doing so well. So, unfortunately, this week without Musto, who had started really well after coming in at the mid-season break there. I think we've had to exploit the weaknesses of Rovers this week. You know, you can say, well, where's the weaknesses in Rovers? They've got a star-studded cast. They've got anybody who's come back from England worth their salt in terms of maybe they're, you know, they've come to the end of their career maybe over there and they still have a few years left in the League of Ireland, or else they come back and try and rebuild. We look at Richie Towle, we look at Rory Gaffney, we look at Graham Burke, you know, coming back and an international player there as well. So, you know, I think if we can keep, you know, they have a serious attack up front, you know, just with the lads we talk about as well, with, you know, Aaron Green as well, who's a great finisher for them. You know, they've got a lot of quality, but I think they are maybe lacking at the back. They brought in a new player there as well this week, a lad from Ipswich. Was his name? It loses me there. Sorry, Barry Cotter. Barry Cotter came in, you know, and they needed cover in that area because they're without Lee Grace. There's Roberto Lopez is away on international duty with Cape Verde. You know, there is definitely not the same strength and depth in terms of at the back for them, yes, going forward. But I think with the way Harps have been playing over the last few weeks, they definitely can exploit that area.
So you're feeling that Harps could really go at them on Friday night and cause them problems defensively? Or will Harps be playing sort of a safe game and holding things back, maybe a set piece or something, Keith?
No, maybe not so much. No, I think because it feels like the shackles are off slightly in terms of the way Harps have been playing the last few weeks. You know, they have begun at teams and, you know, Ollie by nature would be quite reserved and, like, you know, maybe keep things tight and stay in the game and last 20 minutes, maybe look at the bench and is there something we can bring on in that. But the way everyone has been playing, I think, you know, maybe, yes, you have to have a crack at them, but yes, you have to be disciplined too. There's no point. You don't go gung-ho against a team like this. We know their quality and they can pick you off. So in terms of the approach to the game, I think it's just, you know, everyone has to be sort of organized, concentration levels, but go and play your own game. Don't adapt too much. Harps are better when they go at teams. When they sit back and when they, you know, you can be picked off and you can only defend so much against these type of teams. We saw Harps a few weeks ago go to Dundalk in the first half and never got a kick of the ball because they were trying to set up, they were trying to stay in the game. And then in the second half, when they really went at Dundalk, they created loads of chances, maybe half chances at that. But in terms of maybe did they just run out of time in that stage? You know, had they went with that approach earlier on in the game, the result could have been different.
Yeah. Over 2,000 fans will be allowed in to Finn Park. It'll be interesting to see come tomorrow night. Will we have 2,100 in there supporting the Harps? But it's good to get them back. And I know that Ollie Horgan is very much said over the last couple of weeks that he was very, very keen to get them back as soon as possible. And they can make a difference, Keith, as you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, as players, you know, they respond. There's definitely a response. When you walk out on the Finn Park or run on the Finn Park and there's a full crowd there, it definitely gives you a lift, you know. When you're playing in these stadiums or in these grounds and there's no one there to watch, or there's no one there to, you know, to drive you on or to encourage you, you know, there was times there, just looking back on my career and times that I played at Finn Park, and, you know, when you need that extra lift or in the last 10 minutes, if you needed a goal and, you know, there was a corner or a free kick, you know, in a dangerous area. You know, that you know, roar from the crowd or that encouragement can definitely make a difference. And it seems to have been making a difference to Harps over the last few weeks. But yeah, just going back to, as a player, you want to play in front of fans. If it's home fans or away fans, you know, it creates more of a buzz around the game and that type of atmosphere. And as players, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to play in front of.
Yeah, there could be a bit of change in the table this weekend, Keith, because Waterford are playing Dundalk, who sit just below Harps. Harps in 29, Waterford 28, Dundalk of 27, and then Longford are about back 16 points further back, bottom of the table. So there could be a slight bit of change maybe to the position of those three sides come 10 o'clock on Friday night. Would a draw against the league leaders be a satisfactory result? And keeping a close eye, I suppose Waterford and Dundalk would be a draw as well, just to keep things as they are. Would that be a satisfactory night?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, as long as you're keeping the league table ticking over and adding points every week, and, you know, you have to respect, you know, what Shamrock Rovers have as well in terms of their quality. So, you know, a point against the league leaders isn't a terrible result at all. It's, you know, it's quite a good result. I think in terms of moving up the table, Harps might look to maybe gain an extra place to sixth, you know, obviously in seventh at the minute. I think a sixth is maybe as highest as they can go. And just in terms of the teams above them and, you know, some likes of Bowes there as well, who have games in hand and that. And I think this might be difficult just maybe to go that bit higher. Dundalk, we never would have thought we would have seen Dundalk in a relegation fight. Yes, they have games in hand, but the way things are going there at the moment, you know, you'd rather have those points on the board. So games in hand aren't guaranteed wins for Dundalk anymore, just in terms of, you know, the players in, the players out, the players that have, you know, pledged their future to other clubs, you know, question marks over others. So they're not in a good place. They're not where they would have thought they would have been. And, you know, they would have been looking to the cup maybe as well as a, you know, a place for maybe to, you know, a lift as such. But as we know, speaking to a few people from down there, they're not happy with the draw that they've got with Harps. So Dundalk are going to be a nervous team for the next couple of weeks until they can, as I say, get those points on the board and see where they are.
Yeah. Speaking about getting points on the board, if we look at the next number of games, obviously Rovers at home tomorrow. Of the seven games there's to come, five of them are home. Yes, one of them is in the cup, but this could be a really, really crucial period for Finn Harps, Keith.
Yeah, you know what, I suppose coming at the right time in terms of when you're talking there about the fans and getting the fans in and, you know, creating an atmosphere and making these games even bigger. You know, it would be great, obviously, if you could get the stadiums packed out and that there and get more fans in and, you know, as I say, make those games even bigger. Still difficult fixtures. There is no easy fixtures in this league, you know. And we, again, look, it's all very positive at the minute. And, you know, we think about, yes, and we've, you know, got great results in the last few weeks. You know, maybe a month ago or 2 months ago, it was all doom and gloom. It was, you know, it was 10, 11, 12 games without a win. It was, you know, relegation. It was, oh, would we take a playoff spot now? You know, so we're shifting there maybe from, you know, now we're talking about winning the cup and maybe, you know, how far can we push up the league? So it's funny that, it's funny what a difference a few weeks in football can make and that. But yeah, look, I think it's great that the position that they're in, the way that they've been playing, as I say, they're a real threat now to teams, you know, like especially when Pats come to town there and you turn them over comfortably and, you know, Derry as well, who, you know, again, one of the informed sides in the league that we talked about and, you know, beat Derry, yes, 1-0 by a penalty, but, you know, limited to Derry to half chances and things like that, who Derry have been doing really well and cutting teams open. So I think, yeah, as you say, it's going to be a big month, a lot of big games coming up and it's just great that we're allowed back in to watch them as well.
Former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan there in our League of Ireland talk, chatting all things Finn Harps this weekend. Next up, of course, for Harps is Shamrock Rovers tomorrow night. Kickoff time at Finn Park is at 8 o'clock. And as mentioned in that piece, 2,100 spectators will be allowed into the tie tomorrow evening. That is the largest number of fans allowed into Finn Park since the pandemic started back in March of 2020. Jeremy Doherty has been speaking to Secretary of Finn Harps Cathy Taff about the increased number of fans allowed in for tomorrow night.
We can have 2,100 supporters in Finn Park on Friday night, which is 50% of our capacity for supporters in the ground. So that's in addition to our essential match night staff. So that's a huge number. The most we've had is the additional 800, and that was for the Derry Cup game, and they were brilliant. I mean, the difference that the supporters make, you know, to the atmosphere, the noise, they were just great fans. And the Shamrock Rovers faithful are travelling, as they always do. They have they've a very loyal and faithful away travelling support. So we're strongly urging the Finn Harps faithful to come out on Friday night and be there to counter that, and, you know, to do what they did for us and for the team for the last few home games, because it's brilliant. It's lovely. The atmosphere is just so very different. Because, you know, you could hear a pin drop. We heard everything. We heard every instruction from the dugout, and, you know, every exchange while we were playing behind closed doors or with small numbers. So yeah. We need to fill the park. That's the plan.
So for those fans who are thinking about coming on Friday night and haven't done anything yet to organise tickets, Cathy, what's the message to them?
The message is to buy your ticket in advance online, if at all possible. The tickets are available at www.finharps.ie/tickets. A few clicks and they're bought. It's a very easy ticket purchasing page to navigate. So buy them online, ideally. We have it'd be a big change for anyone who hasn't been to Finn Park for some time, because we now have scanners at the gate, so you can download your ticket onto your phone. There's a barcode or a QR code, and that scans in at the gate, and each ticket will only scan once. So, you know, fans or supporters will notice all of those differences. We have to temperature check at the gates too. I mean, it's not something that everybody's pleased with, but those are the match night guidelines. And that's something I'd be very, very keen to emphasise from a COVID safety point of view. We do have to adhere to the COVID safety guidelines. So there is still the distancing. Masks, we're asked, must be worn outside. Now, it's a matter for everybody, you know, to take personal responsibility in respect of that, but certainly that's our message, and it's going to continue to be our message, because it's what public health and the FEI are requiring us to do in order to be able to have crowds back in. And I would say, in addition to that, that we do want to have our fans back, and we do want to have as many fans in the grounds as would like to come to games, and complying with those match night guidelines is important, because if we're found to be wanting anywhere, you know, we're not going to get the increase in numbers. It's just as simple as that. We are being monitored, and there's a lot of form filling, there's a lot of returns that have to go to the FEI in respect of all that COVID compliance. So, you know, it's not just a tick box, it's something that we have to take seriously.
Finn Harps Secretary Cathy Taff there speaking to Dermot Doherty. Well, in Inishowen, the first of the Premier Division games starts this weekend with four ties kicking things off. With the season not completed in 2020, Alia will look to defend the crown that they won in 2019. They start against Buncrana Hearts this weekend. While Kildaff will look to bounce back to the top flight this year, they start life in the First Division against Dunree. I'll be looking ahead to the weekend's games and the season with Inishowen PRO Terence Higgerty. So, Terence, just before we dip into the new season, which got up and running and has shown over the last couple of weeks, and obviously the new Premier Division season starts this weekend. It's been a while since you guys got a competition finished, because due to COVID and due to the pandemic, we're going to talk about teams and about defending champions and teams that were relegated, but it's from the season previous, back in 2019. So you guys have had a long wait, so you have.
Yeah, it's been a long wait. But the season got up and running last year, but as you know, it only lasted a few games, Oisin, and it had to be abandoned. You know, it was first of all cancelled, but it was cancelled for a long time, so we ended up with an agreement with clubs that the season just didn't conclude. And, you know, so really there was no really competition last year, or you put it that way, Oisin. Yeah.
And obviously getting back into the League Cup matches, the Clubman League Shirts Cup, also the Charlie O'Donnell Cup in recent weeks was very much welcomed. It was good to be back on the pitch and seeing games again, Terence.
Yeah, and I think, you know, those games were very useful for the teams now before the start of the leagues. You know, given I know most teams had a few friendlies, you know, over the last month or so, but to get those real competitive games there in the League Cup and the Charlie O'Donnell gives them, you know, a bit of a start, as you could say, to the season.
Yeah, and obviously the Premier Division starts this weekend, and all eyes will be very much focused on the defending champions from 2 years ago in 2019, Alia FC.
Yeah, look, Alia have a tricky away tie this week to Buncrana Hearts, who are will be looking to be one of the teams, you know, chasing for the title under Gary Duffy. Kieran McGade's back there, seems to be fully fit, you know, a big addition, a big plus. Kelly's back in goals, so, you know, good tough test for Alia this week, and it's a very interesting game, probably the top game this week in the Premier Division.
Yeah, Gary Duffy, of course, one of a number of new faces in managerial positions and teams involved in the Premier Division. I think there's five or six in total. There's also a new man in charge of Glengyde United, who will be very much looking to reclaim the position of being the top side in any showing.
Yeah, look, you know, Glengyde has been the forerunners for the last maybe 8-9 years. You know, they have set the pace that others had to follow. But as you know yourself, Oisin, every team goes in circles at times, you know, and it's probably coming to a stage where Glengyde will be starting to rebuild again as well. You know, they're away to local rivals Carndona this week, so, you know, they would be looking to take 3 points there, I'm sure, Glengyde, to get their season off to a good start.
Yeah. One of the new sides back in, promoted from 2019, was Mavill Celtic. They're up against Clonmany Shamrocks in another tie this weekend, but Mavill obviously will be looking to cement their place and avoid a drop this year.
Yeah, Mavill, from what I can see of them, they're basically a fairly young team. They have home advantage against Clonmany on Sunday, so it's probably not the hardest game that they're going to have all season, so, you know, they'll be looking to get off to a decent start at home against Clonmany, but Clonmany will fancy their chances there as well.
Yeah, and the other game, Ellis Celtic against Greencastle. Can Greencastle be a contender this year?
Yeah, Greencastle will definitely be in the hunt this year. I would say Glengyde, Alia, Buncrana and Greencastle probably will be the four teams chasing. Now, a way trip to Ellis on Sunday won't be easy either, you know what I mean, and everybody starting off in the seasons are looking to get these 3 points on the table in your first game, you know, but it'll be a tricky enough tie for Greencastle out in Ellis on Sunday.
Yeah, there's also a full programme of games, of course, to come in Division 1 and Division 2 as well. And in Division 1, Kildare were the side that were relegated in 2018. They're starting things off this time around with Life in Division 1 against Dunreary United.
Yeah, Dunreary have been in Division 1 for a long time. You know, good steady side. And it'll be an interesting game between Kildare and Dunreary because the two of the more stable teams, you would say, in the division. Now, Kildare have a few new players in as well, so it's a hard one to call. You'd probably fancy Kildare, but, you know, you wouldn't rule out Dunreary either.
Yeah. Greencastle Reserves up against Clonmany Reserves. Alia Reserves are playing Glenelly Colts, and there's a fixture that involves two of the former big sides in the Premier Division, Quiggs Point Swifts and obviously Redcastle United. Both clubs in the past had previous domination periods, being the top sides in any show. Are both of those clubs sort of anywhere near and getting themselves back into a position where they can move out of Division 1, do you feel, Terence?
I don't think so. I think it'll be a few years yet. Both of them, it's a local derby on Sunday, which will add a wee bit of bite to that game. So, you know, there'll be a good interest in getting bragging rights in that game. But no, I don't think any of them's ready in the next couple of seasons to go back into the Premier Division. It's a rebuilding situation there at the moment. Young players coming through from underage football and reserve football, you know, but I wouldn't see them challenging for promotion just this season anyway.
Yeah, and obviously right across the initial league, Terence, there's young players who are making it through now to play for the first team and into senior ranks. But as we know, it's always hard to keep players around clubs, particularly at junior level.
Yeah, it's very difficult. As you know yourself, like Fun Harps and Derry City Academies are taking, you know, the best of the younger players at 13, 15, 17 level, and it's a big blow to a lot of clubs, really, you know, you know because basically your best young players are being picked away, you know what I mean, it's or I'm not saying it's wrong or anything, but you know, every player deserves the best chance he can get wherever he gets it. But you know, when you're depending on good play, you know, your young players coming through, it can be a blow.
Is that sort of the general feeling across the league by the clubs that the best young players are not representing the club that they come up through the underage ranks? Is that sort of the general consensus and the general annoyance about the situation, Terence?
Yeah, I would say a lot of clubs would feel that way, Ash. You know, especially if you're using maybe 2-3 of your bright young stars, you know, let's say under 13 or under 15 level, it's a big blow to the club, you know, that are trying to maybe build a team for, say, 4 or 5 years down the line, you know, and those players are going away, and hopefully those players will, you know, advance their own career and make someone out of it, but not all of them will, as we know from past experience, you know. So, and some of them get so disappointed that they give up football altogether, you know. So it's a hard one to call. You want to see every young boy doing as much as he can, and I'm sure the clubs like to see them going on, but it is a blow to the clubs.
Would you envisage many of them coming back to play at the top flight and any showing then, Terence?
The vast majority of them will probably come back rushing at some stage, you know what I mean, probably when they're finished at the under-19 stage or whatever. The vast majority of them will come back. Sure, they may go to the senior league or whatever, or some of them may come back to their own clubs. Some of them may hopefully go on to League of Ireland, you know what I mean. But it's a hard one to call.
Yeah. But looking into the future now and looking forward to this season, obviously everybody excited and happy to be, as we said at the outset, to be back playing football. And will it be a very competitive league this year, particularly in the Premier Division, Terence?
Yeah, I can see the Premier Division being very now. What happens with COVID will probably have a bearing maybe on it, and it's very hard to predict what's going to happen there. But the case is, as with the Donegal League, if a team cannot fulfil the fixture, then they lose the points. You know, that was an agreement that was agreed with all clubs at our AGM. And it was the only way that we could see you could get this season finished, you know, in the proper time. So if a club was unlucky to have 3 or 4 players out with COVID, you know, and the loss of points could have a big bearing on the league title.
Obviously, it's paramount that you get another season completed, isn't it, Terence?
It is. We definitely do want another season abandoned, if at all possible. Like, you know what I mean? And everything, hopefully, we've put everything in place that will get the season finished, and we have the agreement of all the clubs, which is very helpful as well. You know, everybody's in agreement that they want to get a season finished, and they see that as the only way to get a season finished.
Pierre Owen and Sean Terence Hegarty, a full programme of matches in and Sean this coming Saturday. Likewise, there's a full programme of games in Donegal as well. Cup matches, the Voodoo Venue Cup area, from Areas 1 right through to Area 4, is on Saturday, kicking off at 1 o'clock. And likewise, there's full fixtures as well in the four areas, Donegal, Gweedore, Letterkenny and Lifford, and the Brian McCormick Cup area shades to take place on Sunday as well. Donegal manager Declan Bonner has indicated that he will not be making sweeping changes to the Donegal setup as he starts a new 2-year term. The Narasa man was reappointed at a county committee meeting last Monday and said in his weekly column in the Donegal News, "There will be some changes, but it won't be major surgery. We will be looking at the playing personnel and there will be a change or two in the backroom team. We won't be making changes for the sake of it," Bonner added. The Donegal manager will be using the upcoming club championship to see if he can bolster his squad. Niamh Connell have lodged an appeal with Ulster over the decision to replay the county final. Last Sunday, the Donegal CCC ordered the 2020 decider, which was won by the Glenty side, to be replayed on Wednesday the 8th of September because they found the winners used 4 subs during extra time, 1 more than they allowed 3. It's understood the appeal will be held by the provincial body this coming Saturday. With the saga expected to rumble on, a doubt still hangs over the actual game taking place next Wednesday. Well, the 2021 Derry Senior Football Championship swings into action this evening with 2 games down for decision. Laloop will play Ballinascreen and Ballinderry will take on Newbridge. Both of those games will start at 8 o'clock tonight. Matches will then continue in Derry on Friday. In Group B, it's Banagher against Owen Ruhr. In Group C, Slochneil will meet John Mitchells. And in the Intermediate Championship, Drumcern will meet Derry Trasna. And Ballymacguigan are up against Limavady Wolfhounds. And another fixture of note this coming weekend, the All-Ireland Masters Championship gets up and running for Donegal. They, of course, are the holders, winning the title in 2019. There was no competition last year, so they start the defence of their title on the road at Down on Saturday. There's a 1 o'clock start to that game on Saturday afternoon. Well, we're just over a week out from the All-Ireland final as Tyrone go up against Mayo. The Red Hand County, of course, are looking to lift the Sam Maguire for the fourth time in the county's history. After a stunning victory over Kerry, Tyrone have the chance for glory once again. Andrew Moore's Niall Sludden knows it's very much a 50-50 game. Tyrone lost to Dublin in the 2018 final, and Niall is hoping Tyrone don't make the same mistakes this time around. Niall has been speaking with Tom Comack, saying they came down from the high of the Kerry win very quickly to focus on the big decider next week.
I suppose it has sunk in a wee bit there too as well. It was great over the weekend, massive buzz. But I suppose we were back at training there last night, Fergal and Brian, and just went back, and we know the task in hand now, the next game. It was great, you know, and a massive performance as well. But I suppose, you know, we have to remember we haven't won anything yet. We've been in this position before too as well. We want to finish the job this time.
Yeah, you were there in 2018 as well, just fell a bit short against Dublin.
Yeah, you know, remember that day too as well, and the whole build up as well, and you know, the quick start that we made too, and probably maybe thinking we're in a good position, and next thing you know you're down 5 points at half time, and the game quickly can, you know, get away from you too as well. So we want to make sure that we do everything, you know, possible here in these next couple of weeks to make it count, because with a condensed season there's only going to be a few training sessions in between.
Very short run in, you probably the last time you got maybe 3 weeks or something, you got maybe time to enjoy your semi-final win and then look forward, but there's really, you haven't got time to take breath at all.
No, I think that's it. Like, you know, really the last time you probably had a bit more time, you know, to take it all in too, but it's back to the training field, and you know, it's only what tomorrow's going to be, like a week and a half again out to the game, which is good too as well. I enjoy that, you know, the fact that the games are coming quick too, but you know, you can never get too high or never get too low in sport, you know, that's so important, and Mayo's a formidable outfit, we know that.
Was Saturday evening's performance against Kerry as good as you've ever seen this Tyrone team play?
I'm not too sure. I think in terms of determination and grit, probably yes. And, you know, just that kind of, you know, intensity of getting over the line, I think, yes, I'd probably say yes on that. And it's kind of not, we weren't going to get beat that kind of way. That was probably something different that we haven't brought before. But in terms of watching back the game and different things, there was a lot of, you know, kind of things that we could, you know, improve on. And, you know, in terms of, we gave a ball away a lot, you know, a few black cards there, like we need to be managing better too as well. Going 5 points up and then not, you know, we kind of could have pushed on a bit more too. But I suppose that's games. But it was a big performance, you know, it was a big performance for that team too as well, because I suppose we've come into games before against the bigger opposition and maybe haven't done it.
You went in very much as underdogs last weekend. I'm not sure about next weekend. I suppose on the back of that performance, it'll be very much 50-50.
Oh, yeah, it's 50-50 game, as you say, and we don't mind that. And of course, the underdog tag, you know, suited us, and that, you know, kind of mentality as well. But whether or not, you know, 50-50, you know, you're the favourites or underdogs as well, we just have to prepare as best we can and, you know, make sure that we meet the challenge head on, Mayo next Saturday too as well. But it's great to be there.
You're playing well, enjoying your game. You were a little bit off early on in the season, were you?
Aye, well, I don't know if it was a little bit off. I just kind of was trying, I suppose I was on the bench, like, you know, and just waiting for my chance, and, you know, send a few other ones just there before. I was kind of thinking, am I going to get my chance? I always have, you know, big, you know, self-confidence in myself and what I can do. But, you know, I played a few sub-appearances, but, you know, so competitive and, you know, different managers in. But they gave me my chance against Calvin. I came in, I was ready for it, I was buzzing, and I took it, and now I've been in the team. But again, no guarantees I'm going to be in the team the next day, so I have to keep pushing on.
What's it like for a forward when you see your cornerback, your fullback, your two cornerbacks and your fullback going up and scoring?
Pretty good, too, as well. it just shows you the strength of the team and the whole versatility. We're all footballers in that team, and you know, Michael, Ronan and Potty, it's a massive lift, you know, just saying it too as well, you know, especially maybe some of your forwards maybe not getting the same room, you know, darn, you know, some of the times the ball was going in for him, it just didn't work for him, and then to have other boys chipping in for scores, that's what you need, it's a whole team job, and then they're running back and next thing they're picking up their men, and you know, they're picking up really lethal forwards as well, so it gives you a big confidence.
Yeah, and when your goalkeeper comes out and takes a 70 metre free and drops it over the bar nonchalantly.
Aye, well, that helps too as well, you know, he missed a few easier ones now too as well, so if he clean those up, you know, maybe I'm being a bit harsh on, but oh, that was a serious free. You know, I played with Niall with St Mary's, played with Tyrone, you know, underage a lot, and I've never seen him hit a free like that. I think the referee was maybe going to award square ball, and then I just seen it going over, and probably at the time I didn't notice how far out it was, but big kick and small margins, it was a point in it at the end, so you know, there you go. This time next year, knowing Niall, you never know, he could be out the field, he could be anywhere, the way the keeper's going, like, you know, but we're lucky to have him like too as well, fantastic, like, you know, really too as well, but not only just that, but what he brings at the back too as well, so you need everybody, you know, piling in.
As we mentioned, quite a few of that team, bulk of that team, bar two or three, played in 2018. A lot of experience in that Tyrone team.
There is, and sometimes I think sometimes people forget about that there too as well, but there is a lot of experience, and I suppose for us boys, there's a lot of trust, and we've been together a long time too as well, and you know, can back each other up, and Mayo's probably the same, they've been in a lot of finals as well, but we've been there too, and we know, you know, the hurt, you know, from a loss in an All-Ireland final, and you don't get many opportunities to get back again, and you know, this is another chance, so you know, we want to make sure that we, you know, do ourselves justice again, but no doubt Mayo's going to be looking at that too as well, so two hungry teams going into the final, and may the best team win.
Tell me, what do you make of Mayo?
Serious team, serious operators, like, watch that game the last time against Dublin, and again at half time probably thinking, you know, that maybe, right, that they're not coming back from this, but always felt that they had a kick and they were doing all right, but no, they're a serious team, serious unit. Strength, you know, the power that they have, they're very physical. Anytime they've played against us too as well, there hasn't been much in it. And I think they've got a really nice blend of youth and experiences. You've seen the boys coming off the bench, you know, different things, and the manager not afraid to make the big calls on the day too as well, you know, but, you know, keeper kicking that free like Niall too as well. So very similar to ourselves in terms of, you know, pace and power and different things and feeding off the turnovers. So, it's going to be a big battle again, like, you know, really, but one we'll look forward to.
Are they much different to Kerry?
I would say yes. So I think in terms of Kerry, definitely have the silky footballers and the silky players as well. But I just think in terms of kind of the running power, and kind of physical, just, you know, these Mayo boys are, you know, in the flesh, like, they're big men, and they're also so powerful too as well. They can score, and as I said, they're just never give up attitude too as well. We know Kerry is a fantastic team too as well. We got to remember that Mayo, Kerry were, you know, have been about a couple of years, but, you know, Mayo have been about a number of years. They've been in a number of finals too as well. So, you know, they've been there and they've always been about. So, you know, yeah, they're going to be, you know, an offer step up, I think, on Kerry again.
And finally, you reached a massive high last weekend to beat Kerry, didn't you? You had to just really step up. Can you repeat that again this weekend or this weekend?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I know we can. But again, it's keeping the feet on the ground. We haven't done anything, and make sure we get back to training, as I said, every night as well. But we know we're going to have to lift it again. But I know the quality. I know the calibre in the squad. And as long as we make sure we've got the attitude right and our play ourselves, you know, right to the game next week, you know, I think we could do it.
That's Tramore's Niall Sludden, looking forward to another All-Ireland final with Tyrone. As we go to rugby, there is an air of excitement and expectation around Letterkenny Rugby Club ahead of the season start this weekend. Letterkenny begin the Ulster Championship 3 campaign on the road at Newry on Saturday as they look to battle at the top end of the section this season. There's been a lot of changes in the senior lineup as head coach Paul O'Kane looks to get Letterkenny in a winning style for 2021.
Paul's been telling me that he's excited about where this journey will take them, and he's been pleased with how the pre-season has gone.
It's been a fantastic period, to be honest, Oisin. The boys have really bought into everything we've put in front of them, and they've took on board the challenges that we set. We didn't make pre-season easy for the boys. We had a really challenging and pre-planned pre-season, whereby we started off with a Letterkenny or a Limavady select side that we played against, which was a good head out for the boys. We got 30-odd players around that day in the club. We had a fantastic weekend with Enstonians and Corian joining us for a tournament, sides that traditionally Letterkenny wouldn't have played. And the guys really stood up to the challenge, leading at half-time against Enstonians. And just unfortunately, Enstonians pulling away in the second half. Our development team actually played Corian first. And again, a real good head-out for them. What did we get? Around 34, 35 guys over the course of the tournament got a run out for Letterkenny, so that the numbers are a massive positive. When we finished off the pre-season sort of planning with a game at home to Lisburn. Reason behind the Lisburn game was it's a side that, well, we've drawn in the Towns Cup away after Christmas, and it's also a side that are the league above us, so we just wanted to take a look and see how far we were off that league. And again, even with a lot of changes to the squad and guys been unavailable through injury or commitments, or work wise or otherwise, we were able to give them a real good rattle. We came out on the wrong end of a 14-6 defeat, but as I say, we rotated and got another probably 25 guys to run out that day. So to a degree, we kind of maybe beat ourselves by over rotating, but it was to get guys game time. So it's been all pretty positive to date.
Yep, so you're fully satisfied maybe of how your pre-season went ahead of the weekend, Paul. You couldn't have got much more out of it, could you?
No, I don't think we can ask for any more buy-in from the guys. The numbers have been good at training. They've bought into the conditioning work that we've set them behind the scenes on top of the pitch-based sessions. We've had Saturday morning sessions for specific areas of the game that we want to try and improve around our line-out and scrum, etc. So, as I say, hats off to the lads that are there. As I say, everybody, whether they're coming from the underage section or new into the game, or the returning lads from all our clubs, they've really bought into what we're trying to create in the club. So now we're just looking forward to competitive action now, I think, is probably the excitement, and really starting to see where this journey can take us.
Yeah, just before we look at the immediate task at hand, Newry, you have, of course, brought in a handful of new players. You'll tell us about those changes maybe, Paul.
We've brought in new players as such, Oisin, but they're mainly in the majority local-based lads. Guys like Peter Scott and Ben Scott, who had left to go to Oma, who have now returned to the club. So we'll be much the better for that with their ALEL experience. Daniel Faulkner has returned to the club from Galwegians. Again, bringing ALEL experience into the club. Ben Kern has returned to the club from Old Belvedere. We have Barry Lafferty, Callum Moore, Ben Galbraith and James Perry have joined the club from Saudi Derry. And we're fairly lucky that we've had guys coming up from the under-18s within the club. The likes of Jack Spear and Ben Hopkins, Matthew Duffy, guys that have really made an impact coming up from underage level as well. And there's a good squad building there. There's a good bond with the guys. And as I say, one of the remits of the club was that we were primarily local-based. We have a huge catchment area, so it's been fantastic to re-engage with guys that came through the underage section or were the beneficiaries of Fun Valley's youth section as well, with guys like Ben Curran coming back into the club. So we're in a fairly good position regards players. We would hopefully like to grow that further in the coming weeks and months. And definitely next year when guys return from uni. So we've eye on a few targets now moving forward, but we're pretty happy with the squad we've gathered up to date.
Okay. Well, the immediate target is Newry this coming weekend. What do you know about Newry? What sort of test is it going to be? And is it a game that Letterkenny can get up and running with a victory in, Paul?
Well, funny, I actually looked through the results from around the last 5-6 years for this fixture, and Letterkenny have won once in the past 6 years. Down in Newry, it's traditionally for any side a really hard place to go. Serious journey ahead for the boys, but I think one that we're looking forward to. I think if we can look after our end of the game and get our heads right we can definitely come away with a one. And then Newry will present a significant challenge. They're very strong up front, and they've a decent coaching setup in place there themselves. So Newry have their own aspirations, and that's what we've got to deal with. The other thing that I've said to the lads, they have a bit of a target in their back now as well, because there's good vibes coming out of the club now, and people hear about that. So it'll not be an easy encounter. It'll be very physical, as it always is in Newry. The only thing that probably suits us is we're getting Newry early doors, so the pitch down there won't be as heavy as it traditionally is. So we should be able to play about a good brand of running rugby, hopefully.
Yeah. And just finally then, the overall target here for this season, Paul's getting out of Championship 3, is it?
I think initially it was to stabilise and re-engage with as many players as possible and see what we had and possibly maybe push more on in the second year. But I think with how well pre-season has went with the buy-in from players and with the re-engagement and signing of players, I think we're in a fairly good place to make a decent challenge for the league. And Gordon West obviously as well. There's other targets as well, but I think the league to try and finish in the top two and hopefully secure either promotion or a playoff is definitely a feasible target now for the squad that we have.
Letterkenny's new head coach Paul O'Kane looking forward to the clash with Newry in Rugby Championship 3 this coming Saturday. Also in Championship 3, Strabane are playing the PSNI, and not forgetting about Premiership 2, City of Derry and Oma, both at home this weekend. City of Derry play Bangor, Oma are up against Ballymena. And that's your sport this Thursday evening here in Highland. Don't forget, if you want to listen back to or watch any of the score, you can nip over to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com just shortly after 8 o'clock. So what's left you for your Thursday? Have a good one. Chris Ashmore will be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.